Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Brother Paxton. Welcome to the program today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 5. The scripture says, "Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked in times past, when you lived in them." In other words, before coming to Christ, you walked in your old sinful nature according to the ways that were listed in that fifth verse. Verse 8 tells us, "But now you also put off all these." Hallelujah. We can only put off these things as we evidence faith in Christ and in His cross. We have put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. The scripture then says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him," Jesus, "who created him, the new man." Now let's read that 10th verse again, because that's where we're going to focus our study today. Verse 10, Colossians chapter 3, "And have put on the new man." In Christ, we are a new creature. This new creation in Christ is renewed in knowledge, the learning of Christ, after the image of Christ, who created this new man. That's what that verse of Scripture is telling us. And today I want us to briefly study 11 things that the believer must do in order to be renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Number one, the believer must understand that Jesus did it all at the cross and the resurrection, and there is nothing left that needs to be done as it regards the great salvation and sanctification process for you and for me. Number two, knowing and understanding that, we must refrain from making up any rules ourselves or trying to abide by rules laid down by some church in order to aid and abet this sanctification process. Number three, we must understand that it is a sin to attempt to sanctify ourselves by works, and it's a very grievous sin at that. That means that trying to keep some rules laid down on you by some church, rules that are thought to make you holy, it has the very opposite effect, beloved. It doesn't make you more holy to try to keep a bunch of rules. What it does, though, is it frustrates the grace of God in your life. Was it not a sin for Cain to offer up the fruit of his own hands instead of the slain lamb, which was symbolic of the coming Christ? Did not Cain commit sin in that which he offered? Well, certainly he did. The fourth thing I want to tell you is that the believer must understand that sanctification, which refers to the renewing of knowledge after the image of Him who created him, can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit. Number five, if we try to do anything after our own machinations to bring this about, instead of helping the process, we will only seek to do the opposite. We will frustrate the grace of God, which means, in all actuality, we stop the process of sanctification in our life. Number six, we must understand that any effort on our own part angers God, because they who are in the flesh, in other words, trying to sanctify yourself through your works, this cannot please God, according to Romans 8, verse 8. So number seven, we must understand that all that we seek in this sanctification process, and in fact, anything at all that we want from the Lord, is all found totally and completely in the cross and by no other means. This means that Christ carried out all that is needed. Hallelujah to God. Christ carried out all that is needed in His finished work. Number 8, understanding that we must place our faith totally and completely in the cross and not allow it to be moved from this great foundation, and do so even on a daily basis. That's what Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, when it speaks of taking up the cross daily, that's what it's referring to. Daily, we need to go to the cross of Christ and place our faith there on a daily basis. That is pleasing to the Lord, and that will guarantee us the help of the Holy Spirit that we need to live an overcoming, victorious Christian life. Point number 9, once our faith is placed there, and there remains and refuses to be moved at all, we must believe that the Holy Spirit is then going to carry out the work which he's been sent to do in our lives. And he will do this without fail every time if our faith is properly placed. Number 10, we must actually renew our faith on a daily basis as it regards the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke of us denying ourselves, in other words, not trying to carry out this task within our own ability, and taking up the cross daily is purposely renewing our faith on a daily basis as it regards the cross and the work that Jesus did on the cross, the finished work of Christ, hallelujah, and then we are to follow him. This is the only way that Christ can actually be followed, is when we look to what he did for us at the cross, praise God. And again, I refer you to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And finally, point number 11, doing this and continuing to do this, we will find ourselves growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord as never before. We will now come to the understanding of what it means to have the more abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John 10 and 10. We will come into the rest which is found only in Christ in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Now we will be living this Christian experience as it ought to be lived, excuse me, enjoying Christ as he can be enjoyed, growing in the Lord, being made into the image of the heavenly, all which Christ has paid for us at the cross. Heavenly Father, bless my neighbor and friend today. Bless the reading and the study of your word. Drive it to our hearts like arrows of deliverance. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.